Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, August 8, 2010.
On Sunday mornings, we're studying how we can and how we should honor God with our God-given emotions. This morning, we're going to consider the emotion of happiness. And a part of the thought behind happiness, as we'll find out, is that satisfaction. Only Jesus can satisfy your heart. Only Jesus can make you happy. Last week we did discover that there are times when a Christian will experience sadness and sorrow in their life, and that in that sorrow, as we express our grief and sadness, we can actually honor the Lord with our sadness when we look to Him for our comfort and for our direction in that sadness, in that grief. We found that there are actually times when God commands us to grieve when sin is left unjudged in our life or in the lives of those around us. But I do believe, as we study the Word of God, that it's clear that Christians should be characterized by happiness. We should be the most happy people, the happiest people on the planet, because of what we know, because of what we have been given in Jesus Christ, because of what we've been made in Jesus Christ. Now, to be characterized by happiness, what I mean by that is that the expression of happiness should be the emotion that dominates our life more than all the other emotions that we experience. If someone had to be limited to describe you with one emotion, to use an emotion as an adjective, what word would they choose? And I want you to stop and think about that, and I want you to be honest with yourself. What do you think, how do you think people would describe you? Would they describe you as happy? Because that's what it means to be characterized by happiness. And I believe that God wants His people to be characterized by happiness. So the question this morning is, are you happy? Are you happy this morning? Happiness, of course, has to be defined, and it can be such an abstract term. It can be difficult to describe, and yet it is the very thing that I believe every man, woman, and child is actually seeking. In the Declaration of Independence of our own country, it is declared to be one of the inalienable rights to be able to pursue happiness. I do find it interesting that it doesn't promise happiness, but it is a right that should not be separated from any individual to pursue happiness. So certainly, this is something that everybody wants to be, but we find relatively few really are. What does it mean to be happy? What does it mean to obtain happiness? Well, this is a good general definition that you'll find in most dictionaries. There'll be variations on this, but I think it'll give you a good understanding of what we're talking about, the emotion about which we are talking. It means to have an overwhelming sense of well-being, that you're well off, that you're all right. It's a sense of fulfillment that would lead us then to satisfaction, contentment, and security is a part of that. If you feel safe, then that tends to happiness. If you feel unsafe, then that tends to fear. So all of these things, an overwhelming sense of well-being, of fulfillment, satisfaction, contentment, and security. Does that describe your life? Does that describe your emotion that dominates you more than all other emotions? That's a good general term for a definition for happiness. But let's go to the Old Testament, where I believe we find probably the clearest and most accurate understanding and definition of what it means to truly be happy. Proverbs chapter 3. For those of you that are attending on Wednesday night, you know we're in the midst of a study on Proverbs, and the sermon this morning and the lesson that Lord willing will have this Wednesday, it's going to kind of intersect here, because we're ready to consider this passage on Wednesdays. But in Proverbs 3 and verses 13 to 15, The words that are translated happy in this passage, the definition, the Hebrew definition, gives us a good understanding of what we're talking about. What really leads to that sense of well-being and fulfillment and satisfaction and security? What is it that will get us there? Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Jump down to verse 18, same chapter. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The emphasis of this passage, of course, is that wisdom is more valuable than anything else you can possess. The wisdom, the context and understanding of wisdom from the context of the Word of God is to know God, to know His will, and to surrender to His purposes for your life. That's what it means to be wise. So, to possess the wisdom of God, to possess a knowledge of God and His will, and to submit to that and apply it to your life, there is nothing in this life that is more valuable than that. And the reason is this, is because wisdom is the only thing that can make you happy. That's why it's more valuable than riches. Riches cannot buy happiness. That's not original with me, but it is a statement that is true. Riches, wealth cannot buy happiness. It is possible to be rich and not happy. And that's one of those clear statements, isn't it? But it is impossible for you to be wise and to live wisely and not be happy. That's why wisdom is more valuable than rubies, diamonds, money, anything else that you can think of. Now, the word that's translated happy in verse 13, it comes from a root word that's actually, that root word is used in verse 18, where both of them are translated happy in English, but they're related. And what that root word means, the one that's actually used in verse 18, the one in verse 13 derives from verse 18, but it means this, it means to be straight, to be level, to be right. Figuratively, it means to go forward or to be proper. Now stop and think about that. That's kind of an odd definition for happiness, isn't it? And yet to me, it gives me a big insight into what it means to be happy. If you want to be happy, you need to be right with God. You need to be level. You need to be proper. You need the wisdom of God that will teach you what it means to function as God intended you to function as a human being. We are His creature. He is our creator. The wisdom that He gives us, the understanding of His will, is not just so that He can try to put Himself off as some tyrant who likes to tell us what to do. As our creator, He gives us the instruction for us to function as He intended for us to function. Material wealth can't do that. But living wisely in obedience to the will of God can make you happy. It'll make you straight. It'll make you level. It'll cause you to go and progress in life in a proper way that will cause you to understand and experience God's best in this life and in eternity. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 12. If you want to turn there, Romans 12 in the first two verses. If you want to be happy, you must be right with God. Let him straighten out your life. Our unhappiness comes when we mess up our life with our own choices, our own stubbornness, our own arrogance, our own foolishness. But oh, what a privilege to possess the wisdom of God. What a privilege today to be able to sit here and hear and read the Word of God being proclaimed. What a privilege we have. It's more valuable than anything else you could possess today. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, I beg you, the apostle says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of what he's done for us through the cross of Jesus Christ, that you present, yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why is that transformation of the gospel so important? That you may prove. And the thought behind the word prove is by your experience. Not that you might just prove it with facts and figures, but that you would prove this next statement by your own living example. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? What is the will of God that is beneficial to you, that is pleasing to you, that is complete and has everything you need to experience God's best in life and in eternity? Material wealth cannot buy happiness. In fact, when material wealth is not accompanied with godly wisdom, material wealth often results in physical, mental self-destruction. We see the headlines constantly, don't we, of the celebrities who have everything they could possibly want. And they are miserable. They're destroying themselves and everyone around them. And we're hard on those celebrities, and rightfully so. But it happens in every corner of every neighborhood. Rich and poor alike are suffering the same unhappiness of life because they lack the wisdom of God. Those who ignore God's loving instruction for life in His Word, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, it doesn't matter. They're like a carpenter who's trying to build a house but does not use a level, does not use a square, framing square, doesn't use a tape measure, doesn't use a plumb line. I'm just going to build this house. What kind of house is that carpenter going to build? One that's dangerous and is a disaster waiting to happen. That's exactly what people are doing with their lives, because they're ignoring the thing that will make them right. They're ignoring God. They're ignoring His Word, His loving instruction. And people wonder why they're not happy. You cannot ignore the wisdom of God and be happy. That's true whether you're saved or unsaved. We'll look at those two aspects, but it's true of everyone. You can't ignore the Word of God and be happy. Happiness is only found when you are in complete surrender to the Word of God. The world tells us, and sadly much of Christendom, you talk to a lot of Christians and you listen to a lot of sermons or you read a lot of books, Christian books that are published, and everyone believes happiness is found in certain circumstances. If this circumstance or this relationship, if this exists, then I'll be happy. So the world and much of the church tells us that happiness is dependent on external circumstances. And whether you would say that or not, many times that's the way we conduct our lives. We're happy if things are to our liking. If our circumstance or situation is pleasing, then we're happy. But the child of God needs to find and express happiness in the wisdom of God, knowing that you're right with God, knowing you're doing what is right with God. And that will be your source of happiness. The Bible teaches us that happiness results from a knowledge of certain facts and from the wise choices that are made based on an application of those facts. That's where happiness for the Christian is to be found. Too many choose a certain lifestyle that appeals to them, and they make their choices where they're going to live, where they're going to work. I'll be happy there. My family will be happy here if I do this or if I do that. And in those thoughts and in that process, it doesn't enter in, God, what is the will of God for my life in this area? What is it that's going to allow me to do that one thing? Was that Wednesday? I forget what sermon I preached on doing the one thing. I think it was Wednesday. Winning Christ. What is it in this choice, in this decision, this circumstance, this situation, what is the choice that is going to be the wise one that will enable me to win Christ? Is that a part of your thought process and your decision, young or old? Is that really in your thought process? Saints, it needs to be if you want to be happy. Have you noticed how many unhappy people there are in life? You work with a few unhappy people? You have neighbors, family? Some people you hate to even call on the phone. It's just depressing after, oh my, I don't want to be that kind of person. So many that have no sense of being well off. No sense of being fulfilled in what they're doing. They're not content and they're very insecure. So they're unhappy. There's only one source for true happiness, and it's in the will of God. And I know that's a simple statement, and I know it's one I make all the time, but it really is that simple. You want to be happy? Know the will of God, and then do the right thing. Happiness is being right. Right with God. It's unchanging. There are those who are unhappy because they're seeking their happiness in those certain situations or circumstances that they want. Certain relationships. If I don't have this relationship, I can't be happy. For some, it's family, career. Others, it's health. If I can't be healthy, I can't be happy. Some, it's hobbies. Well, if I can't do this, then I'm not content. But the problem with trying to find your happiness in certain circumstances, situations, things, is they always change. And when they change, it leaves you unhappy. In the bulletin there, if you've got it handy there, well, I'll remind you of what was written there. I like this quote that I found in a book called The Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. Because I have found a lot of God's people, they don't accept change well. And change makes them unhappy. And sometimes it's just a matter as you get older. You know, your body changes. And if your happiness is only in being healthy and active, what's going to happen when you're not? You're not going to be happy. And so I believe that this quote, in the proper light, is an accurate one. The possibility for happiness is greatly increased when there is the freedom to learn through experience, the openness to change, and the flexibility to adapt to changing circumstances. Rigidity blocks the life process. I found that to be true by observation and experience. Now, I understand that that quote can be misused. I'm very rigid when it comes to an understanding of the Word of God and for my stand for the Word of God, and people have told me I'm too rigid. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be flexible when it comes to the Word of God. But in the context of doing the will of God, knowing the Word of God, I believe that there is some real lessons for us to learn. I know people that go through difficult times, trials and testing, and they go through it and they are unhappy and they are miserable, and when they come through it, they haven't learned a thing. I want to be able to learn through the things that God allows me to go through. I don't want to just throw up my hands and say, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this. And I'm not going to be happy. I want to be able to go through whatever God in His wisdom allows in my life. I want to say, God, in this thing, I want to do it right. I want to be right. And if I'll be right, if I'll do the will of God in the midst of this thing, then I know I'll be happy and I'll bring glory to Your name. Openness to change. It gets more and more difficult as you get older to be open to change. And yet, the changes come more quickly as you get older. But whether you're young or old, instead of resisting the changes that God allows in your life, you need to see that these are opportunities for you to learn to trust Him more. Can you look at that? Unpleasant change. Rather than fighting and scratching, it'll only make you unhappy. Rather than fighting and resisting, if God allows it in your life, it's for a purpose. Embrace it as an opportunity. God, teach me to trust You. And you'll be happy. Flexibility to adapt. This flexibility can only come when you rest in the truth that Jesus never changes. He's not flexible. He doesn't change just because the times are changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But knowing that, and knowing that He's your anchor in life, when the changes comes, you'll be able to blow with the wind, knowing that you are eternally tied to the unchanging God. That you are trusting in the unchanging Word of God. And that will be your happiness. Let's look at just a few passages that specifically tell us where happiness is found. And like all of these emotions that we've been given by God, when we honor God with our emotions, they will result in the fruit of the Spirit being developed in us. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but genuine happiness that comes from wise living will result in the fruit of the Spirit known as joy. That deep-seated sense of well-being that never changes even in the midst of sorrow. If you're truly happy in the Lord, it will result in the joy that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Isaiah 12 and verses 2 and 3. The first step for any human being to be made right with God is to come and drink at the well of salvation. This is why only Christians can truly be happy. Lasting happiness. Happiness that leads to joy. Because only Christians have drunk from the well of salvation. Isaiah 12 verses 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. There is no lasting happiness for those who refuse to drink from the waters of this well. There is salvation only in Jesus Christ. In our society, that message is going to be more and more persecuted, openly persecuted. It has been ever since Jesus' time. The message of faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, it's a message. The gospel has been attacked. It's been attacked throughout history. It's been attacked all around the world. Even when we were enjoying popularity here, it was still, there were areas where people die because they say you need to believe in Jesus. It's not going to be accepted, but it is still the only message that we have to offer the world. It is the message of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only well that brings eternal life. And apart from that salvation, man can never be right with God. Even if he wants to. Religious man is not a religious man who rejects faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation. That religious man is not a happy man, because he's not right with God. Another quote from that same book of theology reads this way: man being finite must find an infinite reference point for his own existence, or else his life will ultimately be absurd. I think that's an accurate statement. Life without faith in Jesus Christ is just absurd. Man was created in God's own image and made for fellowship with him. True happiness becomes a real possibility only when a man is properly related to his Creator. It goes back to being happy means to be right, to be level, to function as your Creator intended you to function. That can only take place when you trust in Jesus as your Savior. After salvation, if God's people are going to continue to be happy, if they're going to enter into that happiness that can only come from being a Christian, because the reality is there are a lot of unhappy Christians, and that's sad. There are a lot of unhappy Christians, but we have the possibility to be the happiest people on the planet. Psalm 128. But you know where the secret is found for Christians to be happy? It's the same thing. Be right with God. Oh, you say, well, brother, we're already right with God. We're saved eternally so. Amen. We are. As far as our relationship with God, we are eternally right. And that should make us happy. But as far as our personal walk, our practical walk, as far as our fellowship with our Heavenly Father, a lot of God's people aren't right, because they're ignoring His loving instruction as their Father. And the first thing that we want to know here is, if I want to be happy as a Christian, I daily have to fear the Lord. I need to walk in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed. In the Hebrew, it means happy. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. God wants you to be happy as a Christian, as His child. He wants you to be happy. But it comes from an attitude of the heart. The fear of the Lord, it means to stand in awe of God. Do you know when we become unhappy? It's when we stand in awe of our circumstances. Oh man, this trial. Oh, this thing. This person, this enemy. When we stand in awe of things or people or places or circumstances, we become unhappy. But in the midst of everything that we experience, if we will stand in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that He's worthy of our praise and of our service, and that He is soon to return for us, and meanwhile, He's going to take care of us and preserve us. If we will stand in awe of His love and His mercy, you cannot help but be happy. If God is for me, who can be against me? What can be against me? I stand in awe of God. I stand in awe of His Son. I stand in awe of His love and His mercy for me. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 20, the next thing that will lead to you being happy as a Christian, if you truly fear Him, it'll cause you to trust Him. if you really believe he is who he says he is, it'll result in you trusting him. And that will lead to happiness. Proverbs 16, verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. To trust the Lord is to believe that his ways and his instructions really are the right way. To believe that his way will really make you right, make you level, make you progress forward in a way that's proper for who you are as a creature of God, as his creation. Can you trust God's ways to make you happy? So many Christians can't. They think they know better than God, and they ignore his word, and the result is unhappiness. And it happens over and over and over again. I've told this story before. I'll give you the condensed version, but I was rebuked one time by another Christian when I was told this Christian, a cousin of mine, was living in an adulterous relationship, and I commented how sad that was, how it should not be. And the response was, well, everybody deserves to be happy. And the thought behind that, of course, is this person living in sin with this person, if it makes him happy, then we should be happy. Everybody deserves to be happy. Well, I say this, God has made a way for his children to be happy, every last one of us. There is no happiness in sin. There is no lasting happiness, and there is no joy outside of the will of God. Trust the Lord that his ways are right. You may not always understand them. They may not always be the easy choices. In fact, I find that many times to choose to do the will of God is the most difficult choice to make at the time. And that's why so many of Christians don't make the difficult choice, because it's just too hard. I have to make too many people mad. I don't want to make people mad, and I don't think it's a Christian thing to make people mad. If doing what's right makes people mad, that is the Christian thing to do. That's the loving thing to do, not only for yourself and your loved ones, but even for your enemies. Do the will of God. You do what's right because it's right. You say what's right because it's right in the sight of God. And that'll cause you to know happiness in your own life. The next scripturally logical step, is if you fear the Lord, you'll trust him. If you trust him, you'll obey his word. Proverbs 29, verse 18. There are many verses we could read. We'll stick with the Proverbs theme here. Proverbs 29, where there is no revelation, where there is no understanding of the revealed will of God, the people cast off restraint. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I think will make me happy. I'm going to do my own thing, and then I'll be happy. But happy is he who keeps the law, the instruction of God. Fear the Lord, trust him, and obey, and you'll be happy. The last one we'll close with in John 13. If you want to be happy as a Christian, you need to know what it is to serve others selflessly. We live in a society that promotes selfishness in every aspect, and that's why so many people are unhappy. Go ahead and indulge your every whim, and you'll find out that it won't make you happy. It'll destroy you. because you're not right. You're not functioning properly as God intended for you to function when you give in to your own sinful, deceitful lusts. But if you will dedicate yourself to serve the Lord and to serve others, knowing that He'll take care of your every need, quit feeling sorry for yourself, quit trying to take care of yourself, but if you will throw yourself in dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to be used by You for Your glory, I want to serve You, and I want to serve Your people, Jesus Himself says you'll know what happiness is. John 13, verse 12. We'll read through 17. John 13, verse 12. So when He, Jesus, had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, do you know what I have done? Now you know the context, I hope. If you don't, Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. Now, try to wrap your mind around this. This is the Creator of heaven and earth who has took upon Him the form of man. The one who created everything from nothing has bent Himself to wash the feet of His clay vessels that He created. It's hard for me to comprehend that love, that condescension, that mercy. But this is what the Son of God did for me. He came down and served me. Now notice what He says. It's not just an analogy. It's a living example that we are to follow. You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed, happy are you if you do them. You'll be happy if you learn to serve others selflessly as Jesus did. I have noticed that unhappy people are selfish people. Unhappy people are selfish people. They're always thinking about themselves. This situation's not like it ought to be. This circumstance, this relationship, me, me, me. And saints, we've all been there. You know, when I make those general statements, I've done that. I've been there. When I'm unhappy, I find it's because I'm thinking about me. But saints, when we focus on the privilege we have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve His body, to serve His people, something happens when we live selflessly. It leads to happiness. I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. It would make sense to me that if you focus on making yourself happy, you'll be happy. But it doesn't work, ever. And don't misunderstand the kind of ministry I'm not talking about. And I wish I could somehow communicate to this, because I see so much ministry and service today that is still all about self. Well, I do this and I serve that because I feel good about myself. You see how that kind of ministry and service is still all about self? No, you need to serve others and minister to their need because they have a need. Because it's the will of God. Because it's the right thing to do. That's why you do it. Not to feel good about yourself. But as you minister and you focus on what God has called you to do, you'll understand what it means to be well off. What a privilege to be an ambassador of Christ. What a privilege to be a co-worker together with God for what He's doing in your life. I don't understand the privilege God has given me. I don't understand the privilege He's given you. But I'm happy to know that I can serve and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I can honestly say this morning, I'm happy in the Lord. Yes, there are sad things. I've experienced a lot of changes in my life. I've moved to a lot of different places in this country and around the world. Changes that weren't always easy or pleasant. I've suffered tragic loss. I've experienced different economic circumstances and situations. But in all of those changes and all of those experiences, I've experienced the joy of the Lord. I've learned to fear Him. I've learned to trust Him. I've learned to obey Him. And I've learned to appreciate the opportunity to minister to others. We'll close with Psalms, with the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Those who do that, who look to those things for their happiness, they won't be happy. But the happy man is the one who delights in the law, the instruction of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, waters that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I started out with a question this morning. I'll ask you again. Are you happy this morning? Does happiness characterize your life? Do you have this sense of well-being, this spiritual health, that you are right with God in every area and aspect of your life? No matter what changes come in life, may we learn that He never changes. And therefore, we are well off. And I'm content with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Oh, I want more of Him. I want to know Him more and more and more. But I'm satisfied. And because I'm satisfied, I want more. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to close in prayer this morning. But as I pray, I want you to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us this morning. He knows your heart. And I've known those that have tried to pretend that they're happy when they're not. You can't pretend with God. And so as I pray, as I close in prayer, these altars are open. I want you to come and seek the Lord and let Him minister to your need this morning, whatever it might be. Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving. Lord, we are well off. Our sins have been eternally forgiven. We've been given the privilege to worship You, and to, even as we call upon the name of Jesus, this privilege that we have to come into the presence of the very Creator of heaven and earth, and we come before a throne of grace. Lord, thank You for this privilege. Help us to be content with who we are and what we've been given in Jesus Christ. Lord, I also pray that as Your children here this morning, that in every aspect and every area of our life, we would truly be right with You. And if there are areas in which we are not right, then Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would bring conviction, that it might lead to repentance, that it might lead to restoration, which leads to happiness, joy, and peace. Lord, You know every heart that's here this morning. May we truly honor You as Your creature, not only once as being created in the natural, but we are new creatures in Christ. Lord, I pray that we would truly honor You with our lives, and that we would point others to the happiness that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of your precious Son. Amen. Amen.